I had to move this to get back on the camera, they told me. So, good morning, everyone. I don't know if you all heard. I had to move it to get back on the camera. I don't know if you all heard that anyhow. It's good to be back in our church here this morning again. Good to see everyone here. We're excited to hear some things about All Nations this morning. And we have a speaker, Brother Bryant Martin, going to speak to us here on the Sunday School Hour and also tonight in the evening service. And we have Brother Earl Peachy that's going to bring the main message here this morning. I was thinking a little bit about being back, and it was nice, you know, as we were away, that we didn't have services here to go visit other congregations, you know, and advance our relationships with those other people. But it is good to be home, and there's no place like home, right? So it's good to be back, and it's good to invite others into our home now. So we hope you all enjoy the service here this morning, and we hope God moves as we hear from All Nations. I asked him if there was a verse of scripture or something he'd rather have me read, and he said I could read the Great Commission. So we're going to turn to Matthew 28 here this morning and read this couple verses here. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What a blessed portion of scripture we can read here this morning. We can teach and preach no matter where we are in our daily routine. I think we're supposed to work that into our daily routine. So as we think about that, let's try to further the gospel no matter where we're at this morning. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.
So is there a camera that I need to be on? So I can't, am I in the range right here? Can you see me right here? How about right here? Okay. All right, well, I don't like standing too still, so but that's okay. I will gladly do that for those who are not able to be here this morning. So good morning. It's a real blessing to be with you all this morning, and I hear it's a special Sunday. It's like you're back, maybe for the first time in this building, did I understand correctly? So you must look like you have some construction work going on out here, and so that's special to be here. To celebrate that with you. So my name is Bryant Martin, and I'm from State College, Pennsylvania. My two oldest are here, the two big boys in our family, my son Karsten and my son Traden. And I left four children at home and my wife. Last night we had a child get sick and she was planning to be here and the other children, but they stayed behind and we got out of bed and made ourselves a little breakfast and headed this direction. So we'll be missing my family, but thankful to be here. Of course, Earl Peachy and his wife are with us. We're bringing the message, as Brother Dustin said. And Earl is a ministerial advisor for All Nations, someone who has started working with us in the last year in the range. And so we're excited to have him part of our team there at All Nations. Also, one of your elders here, Brother Paul, is an advisor for this ministry. So an advisor, we see our advisors about once a year. They come to our main board meeting that we have in January, and they're brothers who can kind of give input from a distance, maybe. Sometimes we get so far into the woods, you know, we can't see where we're heading, but our advisors kind of have a 30,000-foot view, and they can kind of help us, give us direction, and maybe and even represent different constituencies that support All Nations Bible Translation. So it's good to be here with your congregation, Paul. So All Nations Bible Translation, and Dustin said, hey, is there a verse you can read? And I said, well, the Great Commission. You can never go wrong with that, right? And that's why we're here. The last words of Jesus. They carry a lot of weight for us as Anabaptists. The words of Jesus do. But we see there, there's a word that, or a phrase that he uses that we have in our name. all nations. And he says, go, therefore, and make disciples or teach all nations. And sometimes we tend to, when we hear the word nations, we tend to think of geopolitical nations, right? United States, Mexico, Canada, you name it, 150, whatever there is in the world, 175. We tend to think that way, but really the word, the Greek word is ethnos. And ethnos is for people groups. So it's not really geopolitical boundaries, but more ethne or peoples. So go and teach peoples. And so All Nations Bible Translation is focused on people groups around the world who are Bible-less, who don't have God's word in their language. And so we'll be digging into that here today. So I'm looking forward to hear over the Sunday school hour talking kind of about who All Nations is, our vision, our mission, and how we also solve the problem of Bible-less groups. So we're going to be kind of looking at that. And then this evening, Lord willing, we'll be digging into our projects and talking about the different parts of the world that we're working in. So All Nations Bible Translation, partnering with Anabaptist Churches for the Unreached. I would like to just introduce you to the administrative team in there at State College, Joel and Kelsey. Joel was the original vision carrier for All Nations. He attended Faith Builders Campus Institute for 2 years. And in that 2 years, he wrote a paper on how we got the English Bible. And that's where God put a burden on his heart to get involved in the work of Bible translation. And out of that came the burden for All Nations. And in 2010, he and several other brothers actually went to Christian Aid Ministries and said, would you all consider adding another wheel to your vehicle of a Bible translation? And they said, well, let's think about that. And 6 months later, they came back and said, we don't think that work is for us, but we think there's someone that needs to do that, and we would like to bless you and support you and encourage you to do that, to start a Bible translation agency, a conservative Anabaptist Bible translation agency. And so kind of with that support, Joel and a number of other men founded All Nations Bible Translation and got it started. Like I said, that was in 2009, 2010 when it was kind of officially started. So Joel works, he's our director. He works there. He's part of, he lives in State College where I do, and works at the base there. Aaron Kreider works full-time for All Nations as well. He's started in 2015. He's the one in the office who keeps things all lined up and keeps us organized, which is a real blessing. He also is a representative for our work in Central and South America as well. A very gifted brother in writing and in other areas. Just lately to join our team is Jeff Brubaker and his wife Mary Esther and family. They were from Lancaster County but served for 5 years in Africa, actually on a translation team, not under All Nations, but sent by their church. There's like three families there. So he's actually has been trained in linguistics. He's a New Testament translator, so he has studied Greek. Quite a gifted brother. He also does software development. And so while they were in Africa learning the language, he was supporting himself pretty much through his software development. But that work never really got off the ground. The local church there wasn't really interested in getting behind seeing the scripture translated. And so that came to an end. They came back to the States, and he didn't want to just spend all 40, 50 hours of his working week working, doing software development, even though he could have. And so we tapped him on the shoulder and said, we need help in State College. Would you consider coming, bringing your knowledge to the table and working for All Nations? So they just recently moved to State College. He is working part-time for All Nations and also working part-time in software development. This is my family here. My wife, Linnell, our six children. They're with State College in the background. And I work part-time for All Nations. My wife and I also own a coffee shop or cafe in downtown State College. right next to Penn State University called Sower's Harvest Cafe. One of the brothers from our church manages that for us. We have about 12 or 13 employees there. And we're there to not only sell good coffee and good food, but also to be a light there to in a dark place, really. And lots of exciting things happening there with just interaction, Bible studies, and some recent Chinese lady coming to Christ there. And so I kind of juggle a couple of different things in my life, but I'm thankful that we have a really good team there that keeps that place running and really has went way beyond what I could do there in terms of outreach there in downtown. So if you ever through State College, please stop by. We're closed Sunday and Monday, but open Tuesday through Saturday. We'd love to serve you there at Sower's Harvest Cafe. Okay, so let's move along here. So this is the All Nations Bible Translation property. Right here is the new building we just put up, but right here we're looking at it from Google View. And let's see here, if I can get this figured out, yeah, great. So right here is a new building we just put up in the last year. We actually would have had one of our first meetings there in January, Paul, when you were there. So we're really excited to have this building. We have a 10-acre property right here on top of the hill. Here's Interstate 99. Right down here is Route 322. We can see like the Beaver Stadium across the way here. So we're kind of right in the heart of it all. A property we felt God gave to us for a really good price back in 2014. And we now also have two houses here where during training our families stay in those facilities and are part of the training that's going on here in the building. Our offices also are right there as well, as you can see right here. So that was just last fall, getting some landscaping done around the outside. So yeah, All Nations Bible Translation founded 2010. We're just 11 years into it. We're very new in terms of translation agency. When you look at Wycliffe and New Tribes, and some of the ones have been around for 75 years, or Ethno 360 now is what New Tribes is called. So we're very young, but we're thankful to be at work and seeing our teams going to the field, and the Bible is just starting to be translated, which we'll be getting into that here more later on this evening. So let's move on here. So All Nations Bible Translation, what is a revision? And so we recently really worked at our vision. What are we shooting for at All Nations? What is our purpose? And this is our vision statement right here. Communities of believers in every language group living out the Word of God. And one of the things we really wrestled with in our organization is the tendency for us, because we're a Bible translation agency, the tendency for us is to really focus in on seeing Bibles get translated. And that is really, really important, no doubt, to see God's holy word, his inspired word, taken into languages where people are not able to read it in their heart language. And exciting to see people who are just beginning to read it in their heart language, to see the lights going on, lives getting changed. But we came back to, did Jesus write a book? What is at the heart? What is the end of God's word? What is Jesus wanting to see? What is God wanting to see in the world? We came back to communities of believers. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, or teach all nations and baptizing them. So we see Jesus and his life, his ministry, and we can go back through and just do a survey of Scripture in the Old Testament up through the New Testament, beginning right in the garden there. In the first three chapters, we see God asking a question. What did he ask Adam and Eve? Where are you? Why are you hiding from me? God was someone who wanted to commune or communicate interact with the ones he had created. And of course, we know what happened there in Genesis 3. We even think about God himself. As Christians, we believe that God himself, maybe could, we could say, is a community. He's three in one, a mystery that I'll let Brother Paul unpack to you all. It's mysterious who God is, but we see himself. And so we came back to, as we look at Scripture, as we look at him calling Abraham there in Genesis 3, I will make of you a great nation. And why? Because so that all the peoples on the earth could be blessed. And so we see him, and we move up into the time of Moses and being in the wilderness. What was right there in the midst? What were all the tribes organized around there in the wilderness? That was the tabernacle where God dwelt. He was right there among his people. We can just look at numerous times throughout the Old Testament. We see God there in the tabernacle or in the temple, his presence, his holiness. Then we come into the New Testament where Jesus takes his disciples and lives with them and ministers to them. And then we have the Great Commission that Dustin read. And then we go into Acts 1 where Jesus is ascending into heaven. He says, go back to Jerusalem and wait there until the Comforter can come. And they do that. And out of that, we see Acts 2 and Acts 4, the church being established and these people being saved and brought into the church and the church getting started. And just through that, we see Paul in Acts 13 going out, Paul and Barnabas being commissioned by the Antioch church to go out. And what did they do? They went out and made more communities. And we just see that happening. And of course, a lot of the books in the New Testament are addressed to these communities of believers. And so we came back to this, you know, really God's word is not in God's written word. The Bible is not an end. It needs to be a means to an end. And that end is communities of believers in every language group living out the word of God, living out being obedient to written scripture, being obedient to the living word, to Jesus Christ, the Logos. So we just see that just all through scripture. That's our vision. That's our destination that we're heading for as an organization, seeing these communities living out the word of God, being able to read and understand God's word. So, yeah. So, but you're thinking, I thought you were a Bible translation organization, and that is right. Yes, we are. Question for you. How many languages are spoken today? I think someone said it right. Here we go. How many languages are spoken today? Someone take a wild guess. English, right? Well, a lot of people know English, for sure. But it's surprising how many people don't know English. We see that in State College. We even teach people English and say, hey, come read the Bible with us and learn English. It's a great way to get them into God's Word. So, wild guess, anybody?
It's in the thousands.
It's in the thousands. Thank you. Brother Clapper. 6,000, someone said that over here. Approximately 7,000 languages are in the world. And 2,000 of those, approximately, don't have a word of Scripture in their language. Now, you know, when you think about the global population of 7 billion people, a large percentage of them are able, if they could get access to a Bible and be interested in reading it, are able to read God's Word in their language. But there is a percentage that aren't able to or would find it incredibly difficult to read. Maybe, for example, we're just starting a work in Colombia in a new place, way out in the jungle. We have a family and a single person moving off the map in Colombia. We'll talk about that this evening, to a group who they know very little Spanish. Maybe a leader or two in the village, an elder or two might be able to, someone educated, read the Bible in Spanish, but majority of them, their language of Hupta or Hupade, as they say, would not be able to read at all God's word in Spanish. And so there's a lot of people who are multilingual, right? Or at least bilingual. I'm monolingual. My parents left the horse and buggy Mennonite. They spoke Dutch. My older siblings went to the horse and buggy Mennonite church. They knew how to speak Dutch a little bit. But I never learned Dutch. My parents only used Dutch when they didn't want me to know what they were talking about. So I never learned it. I'm not sure what that says about me. So I'm monolingual and I'm part of a Bible translation agency. It's kind of ironic. But that's just the way it is. And maybe someday I'll sit down and make myself sit in one place long enough and try to learn a language, maybe. It's not on my map right now. No plans to do that. But most of the world is at least bilingual, knows two languages, and often more than that. But at the end of the day, those other languages outside of their native language, they might only know how to do like commerce in it, but they don't know those deep heart language, that deep spiritual talk that you would be used to in your own tongue. And so we'll get into that a little bit later. Let's keep moving along here. How many languages with the entire Bible? 670, approximately 10% of the languages. Of course, that's all the big languages that I talked about. 2,000 plus languages have only the Bible of the Unreached. And I wish I had my Bible of the Unreached up here. Maybe I'll show you that Bible this evening for the children's sake. They might enjoy it. But we have a Bible of the Unreached. So come back this evening and I'll show it to you. So approximately 110 million people around the world, a third of the population of the United States, is not able to read God's word in their language. John 3:16 in Yolosocho Mixtec, which is a group that we're working in southern Mexico, says this: God's heart hurts. For God so loved the world, God's heart hurts. Is how you would back translate that out of Mixtec into English. It's really what they're saying, how that's captured in language. God's heart hurts seeing the people of the world. He loves them. That 110 million people, those are people that God loves. And we could jump into Romans 10 here and talk about that, but I think I caught wind that brother, I was on the way down here this morning. I think Brother Pete, Brother Earl might be jumping in the Romans 10 here for the message. So we'll just keep on rolling here. So our focus at All Nations is people groups. So there's millions of unreached people groups. Millions, maybe even, I think billions, you could say, of unreached people group in the world. Unreached peoples, they don't have anyone that they would know who's a Christ follower. But those aren't necessarily our focus. Our focus is the groups that do not have a Bible. That's our first criteria. So we do tons of work, and we'll get into that again this afternoon or this evening, kind of how we go about finding out, like, does this people group actually necessitate a Bible? Is their language dying? Is it going to live? Is it going to maybe even grow? Are things that we look at? We have men who are trained to do language analysis. And so our focus is where there's no Bible, where there's no church, and where there is no hope. So our vision is to see in these areas right here, where this Venn diagram intersects, is to see communities of believers. That's our vision that we're shooting for, who are living out the Word of God. But how do we solve that problem? How do we solve the problem of 110 million who aren't even able to read, don't even have a verse of Scripture in God's Word? So let's jump into that. Let's continue to unpack the vision. What does that look like? And we want to tell you, I want to tell you this morning, is the way we solve that problem is churches like yours sending people like you. All Nations Bible Translation is not a sending organization. Our focus is on equipping men and women to be Bible translators. But we don't send. Think of Acts 13. Who sent out Paul and Barnabas there? The Holy Spirit. Good. And the Holy Spirit spoke through the church, through people. Okay, that's how people get sent out. And so the way we achieve that vision, the way we are obedient to Matthew 28, verses 18, 19, and 20, is not by another ABT organization, but by just churches like yours seeking out those folks in your midst who can go and be the hands and feet of Jesus in this way on a church planting team that's doing Bible translation. So our mission statement with All Nations is we partner with churches to send teams who facilitate Bible translation and community development while working to establish indigenous churches. And so for the next 15 minutes here, right? About 15 minutes, we're just going to unpack a little bit what that looks like to actually kind of achieve that mission, partnering with churches to send teams, church planting teams, who facilitate Bible translation and community development and establish indigenous churches. So here's a diagram that we put together to try to help as we interact with churches, as we do presentations, as we sit down with interested churches who maybe have a person they want to send or a member who's interested in being a translator. We look at this diagram with them and it kind of helps clarify how this works. And so on the right here, you will see, it's on the left. Let's go to the left. Your left. You will see All Nations Bible Translation. And you'll see us specifically pointing down, being involved, and giving oversight and direction to the Bible translation part of the work and community development. So maybe some of these are more technical areas that we get, or they obviously are more technical areas, but we get involved in and help pull in, see people get trained with the right expertise or pull in people who have the experience to help out with these situations. And over here on the right is the sending church. So it could be Pleasant Hill Brethren Church sending, and they're responsible. You might be sending out, let's just say, hypothetically, one person or a family where the brother is trained to be in community development. Maybe he wants to take his mechanical skills that he's learned in the States and go over to Africa and be part of reaching a people group there, a Muslim people group, who are quite against Christians. But he's going to come in there and build relationships with people in the village and teach the mechanics, the African mechanics, how to actually fix their vehicles. Africa is a dumping station for the world's cars, and they don't have near the criteria that the Western nations have for the quality of vehicles, and so they just get junk. And they're not trained how to fix them. And I actually know a brother who's there on a Bible translation team, he has created an incredible network, an incredible amount of relationships through just taking his skills he learned here in the States, taking them there, and teaching these mechanics. It's amazing why the Muslim imams are sitting, piously on their mosque steps, dressed up just right. He's under their noses working with mechanics in their dusty little outdoor yards, helping them figure out what's wrong with the transmission. And through that, he's making a friend, and then all of a sudden they start asking him, so who are you, anyhow, what do you believe? And so he's making disciples right under their noses, building relationships. So community development, you're sending somebody to be a community development person, but of course this person's a church planter. Everybody on the team is part of church planting. Remember, our vision is to see communities of believers raised up. So everybody on the team, whether you're a Bible translator, whether you're a community development person, community development, like I said, is just hands and feet of Jesus. It could be, if you have this brochure, you can see on the inside, on the right wing, kind of a list of things that could be. It could be microfinance, like SALT, Christian Aid Ministries. It could be literacy, teaching literacy, teaching people how to read, agriculture, health, economics, business training. It's just those really tangible things that we're good at, actually as Anabaptists. Teach them how to do these kind of things. We'll get into that a little bit in just a little bit. So, and then church, everybody's a church planter, and the churches that are sending those team members are giving them direction or oversight on how to plant those churches. ABT isn't, we're not interested in figuring out, you know, your mode of baptism. That's for you all to do, that your faith tradition, how you do it. That's you. We're just here to help with the Bible translation, etc. So that's a little bit about this diagram. Let's keep moving along here. So remember, this is called a church planting team. These members, often ideally three different parties. This one might be a Bible translator. This might be involving community development, that mechanic helping people, teaching people how to fix their cars. This person might be teaching literacy or an Old Testament translator. This might be a New Testament translator. They're all part of the same team, but they're a church planting team. And then right here you see a trio of three. Those are back in the stateside, and they're the ones who are sending and supporting this church planting team in Africa, hypothetically. So you have the sending church, which would be your church, and out of your church you would kind of develop a support team, we call it. People who are really connected to the work, could be a church leader or two, those who are interested in the church, who want to help from the stateside, logistics, emotional support, just a lot of different ways that people can support those in the field. And so we kind of help churches figure out what that looks like, to kind of put together a church, a support team for a party or two that you'll be sending to the field. And then we have All Nations. We're more behind the scenes, specifically giving direction to the Bible translation part, helping with communication, interaction with the teams in other ways, support. But we're more behind the scenes, kind of what we like to see ourselves as serving the church's mission of sending people to the field. And then broader than that, right here in the bottom, with All Nations, we have a lot of people who, you know, who are part of churches who probably maybe will never send a missionary. But they're still involved with praying for specific projects, giving financial support. So we have a broad network of people we communicate with what's happening, and they're supporting in their own ways. So let's keep moving here. So a church planting team can consist of three parties, ideally. Community development facilitator, Old Testament translator, New Testament translator. Let's jump into community development for a little bit, talk about that. What is the basis? The basis for community development. I tell people it's just a really, community development word sounds kind of intimidating, but really it's just being the hands and feet of Jesus. So teaching someone how to read, literacy training, medical, agriculture. We get into the areas that we work in the world are often very underserved, and the people there maybe even have a really poor image of themselves, have no idea how to see the resources around them, and have no idea then how to even once they do see it, how to steward it. And so we see ourselves coming in and just helping them to see these resources, to steward them for their own physical benefit, to actually raise themselves out of poverty by quit smoking and saving that money up. It may be in a savings group, or like with SALT. There's many different ways. So God gives every person abilities. God gives every community resources. So we serve the community by teaching them to develop and use their skills and resources, and not to depend on what we do and bring. Bible translation. Now this is the part of All Nations Bible translation that I don't get that involved in. I'm not a Greek scholar or a Hebrew scholar. I'm not very technical. I tend to fly about 30,000 feet. And so Bible translation is a little more specific, a little more focused. It's people who like to sit behind a desk, maybe, and work. That's kind of people, the demographic of people who become translators often. But just five things that we have here that are kind of our maybe core values or a Bible translation. Number one is collaborative. So we think it's very important to have mother tongue speakers part of that team, that translation team. So you're collaborating with others, with mother tongue speakers, you're collaborating with other organizations in the area. This evening I'll talk about Iraq. We're currently there, and we're collaborating with some like Wycliffe and some others that have worked in the area to make sure that we're not recreating the wheel. We're learning from them. We're not doing things that they have learned that doesn't work. Next one here is faithful. We want to see translations that are faithful to the text, that are faithful to Orthodox Christianity. Sadly, there's translation philosophies in the translation world that are not right, and so we want to see our translators knowing how to faithfully translate it, thorough, well done. I see we only have four here. Accessible. I'm forgetting. We had a fifth one here at one time. I'm not sure why that got taken off. Okay, so an accessible is not only written down on pages and text and in a book, but also how are people reading the Bible today? You know, on our phones. So a lot of it doesn't matter where you go in the world. People typically have a phone. They can at least go out and get internet Wi-Fi somewhere and download a Bible or whatever, or with an SD card, pop it in their laptop or something, and be able to read it. So we want to see God's word made accessible in every area. Of course, audio is a big thing too. People can listen. Some people can't read. So there's a lot of factors into that. 20 after I'm done, right?
You can go a little
longer. Okay. Well, we're coming to the end here. So, all right. So believing communities, of course, is the ultimate goal. And we talked earlier about this. And I want to ask the question, I'll pose the question, does the Bible alone plant a church? Maybe a little bit provocative question. We've all heard stories where someone got their hands on God's word, and through it, God spoke to them in amazing ways, and they became a Christian and became a follower of Christ in beautiful ways. Definitely that happens. Absolutely. There's a quote that says, by Cameron Townsend, he was one who started Wycliffe. It goes something like this: the Bible is a missionary that's always going to be there. You know, as an American, you might get kicked out, but that Bible typically can be there and be that missionary. And that's true to a sense. But when you look at the church, the early church, when you look at your own life, how did you learn how to follow Jesus? Was it only the Bible? And I think we all know the answer, somewhat rhetorical. No, many of us have a Christian heritage that has taught us how, not only by reading God's word, but by example. We have elders and school teachers and mothers, and we're so rich with influence that, sure, is based out of God's word, but is taught to us through other means. And so, remember, our goal is to see a group of believers raised up that are reading God's word and teaching it to those around him and making it go from a script to living. So, a locally grown church in our mission state, we talk about indigenous church, and that's something that obviously we let church planting up to the churches who are sending the members, but we like to talk about and encourage more of an indigenous model. And that is a church that has locally developed leadership, a church that has locally available resources, and is locally appropriate for that setting. There's 100 different ways we go here, but one of the realities of where we work in Bible-less unreached groups is that often they're not safe areas. Security is a huge thing in all nations. Just on the way down here, I was interacting with two brothers in Colombia, and they're like, and they had just done some recent research that I've been talking about this evening and traveled into an area, and they're like, just make sure this stays right in the circle. Because we don't want this information getting out. When you're working in Indonesia, when you're working, it seems like everywhere we work, you want to keep as low of status as possible, because it's dangerous. There's people who are quite against Christianity. There's people with agendas. There's other religions who would love to get rid of you. And so we never know when you will get removed from an area that we're working in. So right from the beginning, we want to see those members that are hitting the field with the understanding that we're here to work ourselves out of a job. We're not here for the next 100 years, 200 years. We're maybe here for 10, for 20, for 30. We don't know that. And so having an understanding of and a laser focus, if you will, or a burden and support from sending churches to see, you know, disciples raised up, to see elders raised up, those that can lead the church and teach, you know, from God's word, we think is really, really important. A church set apart to God, yet reproducible in its cultural context. You know, a church that's being obedient to the principles of Scripture, to the principles that we care a lot about as Anabaptist people. A church that has redemptive discipline, submits to one another in brotherhood, loves their enemies, and returns good for evil. Separation from patriotism and war. Marriage is one man and one woman for life. The headship order and the veiling and things, you know, simplicity. Those things that we care deeply about, we've seen. We know that that can be taught. And there's churches that can go on and teach that as well themselves. So just to reiterate, we partner with churches to send teams to facilitate Bible translation and community development while working to establish indigenous churches with the goal of seeing communities of believers in every language group living out the word of God. And I'm looking forward to the message by Brother Earl here shortly, and also this evening, and talking more about the areas of the world that we're working in and the churches that we're working with in doing that. So God bless you. Is there any questions at all, maybe? Maybe I'll take questions this evening. I see them 5 minutes over already. Okay, blessings. Or afterwards.